this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
We honor you in this service, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, even the root of David. Majesty is His name. Someone blessing the Lord in this service. The mighty deliverer, we honor you. The ocean divider, the chain breaker, the Lord of lords. Let your name be lifted. Revelation in this service, and let every revelation find graceful expression in the lives of everyone. We give you thanks for hearing us pray. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Thank you, choir. Hallelujah. I want to appreciate my Father in the Lord, Reverend Yemi Graceman, Adelodio, for such an awesome privilege to stand on this exalted pulpit on a Sunday morning. I consider it as a very rare privilege. Thank you so much, sir, for the trust. Reverend has been my pastor for a few years, not quite long. This year makes exactly 26 years, 1998 till this very hour. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for teaching me the way of the Lord. Thank you for the spiritual intervention. Thank you so much, sir. And I also want to honor the entire pastorate, starting from the resident pastor, Pastor Shola Oladimeji. Thank you so much, sir, for being a senior coach and a senior instructor. I remember there was a time after a powerful teaching like that, and then Pastor Shola called all of us and he told us, he said, guys, see how I minister in this service. I use simple English, simple scriptures. So this morning, I'm going to attempt to use simple English and simple scriptures. Amen. And most importantly, can you also help me celebrate your neighbor? Thank him or her for honoring the Lord with his presence in this service. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Let me do a quick reminder. It's a year of greater glory, and our anchor scripture for the month of March is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Please follow me as I read. It says, looking unto Jesus, which means let Jesus Christ be your role model. Let him be your template of serving. Learn from him. Let him be your guide. He says, the author and the finisher of our faith, which means he started this journey ahead of you and I. Learn from him. He was the author and the finisher, which means he started this race and finished this race successfully. Learn from him. There is, the race I'm talking about is a spiritual race. It's also a divine race that has to do with God's plan and purpose for our lives. There is a reward for everyone that finishes this race successfully. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Apostle Paul was saying, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Therefore, a crown of righteousness is laid for me. So that means there is a reward. There is a crown for anyone that finishes this race successfully. Then let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. It says, Jesus Christ finished his race successfully. Now, how did he run it? The Bible says, who for the joy that was set ahead of him, which means Jesus Christ was armed with a picture of his desired throne. Who for the joy that was set ahead of him, which means he was armed with a picture of a greater glory. Then, it says, he endured the cross. The cross then means a symbol of sacrifice, which means Jesus, no sacrifice was too much for him to pay. He could endure any level of pain in order for him to see the realization of his desired throne. Then it says, he despised the shame. It is not uncommon for men to despise you. It is not uncommon for men to laugh at you. Men, it's not a panic attack. Men have a right to laugh at you until God does not bail you out. In fact, when they laugh at you, it's an indication that you are doing something right, because it's a path that leads to greatness. It says, despite the shame, then the Bible says, on the account of the fact that he was armed with a picture of his desired throne, no price was too much for him to pay, that was also ready to despise the shame. Therefore, on that account, the Bible says he's now seated in the place of honor with the Father. I'll be missing this morning on what I've titled as the price for your throne. The price for your throne. What's a throne? A throne is a symbol of authority. When you are in a position of command, when you are in a position of authority, when you represent the face of God through a generation, which means when every dimension that's within the grace, ability, and the capacity of God finds practical expressions in your life, that is what it means to be on the throne. The Bible says he was on the throne. Let me say this morning, that the only way to the throne is through the cross. The Bible says, except the corner of his cross and dies, he says he abides alone. The only way to the throne is through the cross. Many want to get to the throne, they don't want to get to the cross. The Bible says, except the corner of his cross and dies, he says he abides alone. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. Mita, can you help me? Matthew 20, verse 20. Alright, I'm going to read here. I'm going to paraphrase this whole time. The mother of Zebedee walked up to Jesus. He says, I know you to be King of glory. I know you to be the mighty one. I want my two sons, James and John, to have the privilege of sitting to your left and to your right. I want them to have the honor of sitting to your left and to your right, 21. And he said to her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these two sons may sit one on your left and the other to your left. 22. Then Jesus replied, Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you have. Are you able to drink of this cup that I shall drink? Are you able to baptize with the baptism that I shall be baptized of? Jesus was telling him directly, you want your sons to have the honor of sitting to my left and to my right. This level of honor is not a gift. There is a cup you must drink of if you must qualify for this level of honor. Not everything in this kingdom is a gift.
If everything was to be a gift, what then will be the reward of sacrifice and obedience? Jesus was saying, he says, can you drink of this cup? Can you be baptized of my baptism? Jesus was saying, in essence, for you to sit to my right and to my left is not an issue. Do you have the strength to and the capacity to pay the price? If you can pay the price, yes, it is possible. But eventually, you are under the sound of my voice this morning, and you are saying this morning, Lord, I want you to use me mightily. Make mighty men out of my life. Father, take me to the pinnacle of my career. Perhaps you study the story of God's general, you study the biography of great men in your chosen field of the endeavor, and you are asking the Lord, can you take me to the topmost top? Jesus is saying this morning, it is possible. Can you drink of the cup that qualifies you? Can you be baptized of the baptism that will make it your reality? If you want to claim the blessings of Abraham, you must be ready to carry your Isaac to that mountain. We live in a generation where people want to claim people's anointing. They want to tap into people's grace, but refuse their sacrifice. Check any man who is great today without a story and a track record of consistency with God. That greatness has nothing to offer. There is always a price to pay. Can you think of my cup? That whatever it will cost, the ghost writer Jesus said, whatever it will cost, we will do. Whatever it will cost, we will pay. We are willing to pay. It's not about convenience. If you want to be mighty use of God, if you want to get to the throne, forget about convenience. This life of ease and convenience, of course, you will have to drop it. Isaiah 42 and verse 19. God was lamenting about his people here. He says, who is as blind for my servants, or deaf as my messengers that I sent? He says, who is as blind as prophet, and blind as the Lord's servant? God was complaining that my servant is blind. He's not talking about physical blindness here. He said, verse 20, he said, seeing many things, but observe not, which means your conversations are going on every day that contains the ability to reposition you. He says, you are not observing. He's saying, open the ears, but heareth not, which means things that contains the ability to transform you, to take you from where you are going on every day, but you cannot hear. You cannot observe. The Bible says this morning, observe the way Jesus did his own. Hebrews 12, verse 2, Message Translation. Message Translation. He says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we are in. He says, don't sit in church, keep wondering, can Jesus change my life? Can Jesus move me forward? He says, study how he did it. Because he has never lost sight of where he was headed. Which means the ability to be focused is also a price. Jesus was focused on where he was headed. He said that the acceleration finished in and with God. He could put up with any level of pain along the cross, shame, and whatever. So which means study how Jesus did it. Study how he did it. Somehow the revelation of grace, thinking grace has made everything available, grace has done everything. Grace took your sin, not the presence of the kingdom. Study how Jesus did it. Now, shame. A life without problem is useless. The Bible just told us that you brace up your mind for the storm. A life without problem is useless. We grow by the problem we solve. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We grow by the problems we solve. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It says, it is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. And the one just says, it is sown in perishable, but it was raised in imperishable. Verse 43. It says, it is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. Which means, rejoice when men mock you. Without dishonor, there can never be honor. It says, it is sown in dishonor, but the Bible says, it will be raised to you for the glory. Which means, by example, who keep mocking you that you don't have a car yet, they will still witness when God will decorate you with your own car. By example, who keep mocking you that you don't have a baby yet, the Bible says it will be raised for you in glory. By example, they keep mocking you, it has not happened. The Bible says rejoice, because they will soon witness your testimony. The same people that have been asking you, where is your God? They will soon join you after this service. We want to serve your God. That is going to be your reality in the name of Jesus. Rejoice. The Bible says concerning Noah, God instructed Noah to go out and build an ark for about 120 years. Noah was mocked. Many did not know that this water was coming. But by the time this water came, after 120 years, they ran to Noah for refuge. So, if they throw dishonor, there will be no honor. God is taking away the old so that he can bring the new into your life, which means there is what you have to sacrifice in the present for God to bring about the new in your life. The same, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 43. Okay, 43. It says, it is born in weakness. It is raised in power. Which means even our seemingly weakness is for the power of God to be revealed in our lives. Which means, it says, it is born in weakness. So whatever represents weakness, whatever serves as a disqualification, the Bible says the only reason why there is a weakness in your life is for the power of God to be released. It says, so whatever you are going through right now, embrace it. Whatever you are going through right now, embrace it. What is going on in your life right now has the potential of leading you somewhere. So your greatness is tied to your challenges. Yes. So there is a ministry in the problem you have refused to overcome. Embrace your problem. Embrace your challenges. There is a ministry in the problem you have refused to confront. All these miracles, the breakthrough people are running up and down to get. Once you can solve your problem, then the next one is breakthrough. Now, here's the starting point. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, God walks. John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus was saying, the hour is coming. He says, for the time of, for my day. He says, John 9, verse 4. He said, I shall do the work of he that sent me, for the night is coming when no man can walk. So Jesus walked, God walks. God's servant told us, he said, whatever makes God absolutely responsible for the outcome of your life is an irresponsible phase. So grace has made everything available, but we tap into the provision of grace through faith. Grace has made all that pertains to life and godliness available for you and I, but we tap into the provision of faith, of grace, through faith. And you and I know that faith without work is dead. So which means there is a laborious side to this kingdom work. There's a place of laboring in the word, laboring in prayers, laboring on working out on yourself if you must get to your truth. So laziness is not about the outline in the school of the spirits. Whatever is of value, there is a price attached to it. Romans 16 verse 12. Whatever is of value, there is a price attached to it. Now, Paul was saluting some women here. I salute Tripena and Tripota, who labored in the Lord. He said, I salute the beloved, who labored much in the Lord. There is a place of laboring. The Bible does not labor to enter into our rest. You don't sleep into your rest. You labor into your rest. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Whatever is of value, there is a price attached to it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. All right. He says, by the grace of God, I am not ashamed. And his grace, which is bestowed upon me. So grace can be bestowed in vain. He says, the grace that was bestowed on me was not in vain. Grace of God is an empowerment in our lives for us to walk. The grace of God does not replace work in your life. The grace of God is an empowerment for you to work. A lot of people desire some dimension of results, but they are not ready to put in the work. Whatever desire that puts you, whatever desire that doesn't put you to work is fruitless. Whatever desire that doesn't put you to work is fruitless. So make up your mind that you will not be lazy in this age and time. Make up your mind that you will not be lazy in this age and time. Proverbs 22, verse 29. So I let it from 28. Proverbs 22. It says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy father has set. 29. Then he says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He says, he shall stand before kings and not men. It seems to me that that scripture was tied to the work ethics of our fathers. Then the Bible says, he said, remove not the ancient landmark. Then down to 29 says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He says, he shall stand before kings and not mere men. So it seems to me the last people were tied to the work ethics of our fathers. They work very hard. Proverbs 6, verse 4. It says, give not sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. 7 of 5. Let's continue. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hands of the hunter, as the bird from the hands of the fowler. 6. Go to an ant. Now it says, give not sleep. Excess sleep is a proof of laziness. Excess sleep is a proof of laziness. And a technology for activating poverty. Which means if you are a heavy sleeper, you will be extremely poor. They said, go to an ant and learn. Which means nobody's monitoring their life, yet they are free. Nobody's monitoring them, yet they are doing what they are supposed to do. If you have to be told what to do, then you are not on the lead for greatness. Yes, sir. So let me challenge you this morning. When will you arise from prayerlessness? When will you arise from too much sleep? When will you arise from laziness? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 14. Proverbs 13 and verse 14. The law of the wise, Proverbs 13 verse 14. The law of the wise of a fountain of life to depart from the snare of death, 15. Okay. It's a good understanding of everybody. We are transgressors, so I can't do that. All right? Okay, that there is more desire for a slothful. Alright. Now, what are the price? I want to talk about the price. The price to take your throne. The first price I want to talk about this morning is the price for accessing the truth of God's word. If you must take your throne, what are the price? The first price I want to mention this morning is the price for accepting the truth of God's word. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4. He says, my people are destroyed, even though they are my people, because they lack knowledge. An ignorant believer will always be defeated, being a believer notwithstanding. What gives value to the life of God that we have received is the knowledge of the word of God. What gives value to the life of God that we've received is the knowledge of the word of God. So just because you have received eternal life does not mean you'll be a beneficiary of the life you have received. The life of Christ that has been ministered to us as salvation is knowledge driven. The life of Christ that has been ministered to us at new birth is knowledge driven. So that means that as much as you are saved, if you don't contend for light, you will be limited. For as much as you are saved, if you don't contend for light, you will be limited. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 4. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 4b. The Bible says, it says, he had on the ark of his hand, and there was the hiding place. Which means, let me start from the beginning. It says, and his brightness was as the light, and he had on coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding place of his power. Which means God's power is hidden in light. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. So every area of your life that is bankrupt of revelation is the same area where the devil exert dominion over your life. Every area of your life that is bankrupt of revelation is the same area which the enemy will exert dominion over your life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, and by revelation, Galatians chapter 2 verse 2, and I said, I went up by revelation. We don't rise by desires. It takes more than a sincere desire to rise in this kingdom. We rise by revelation. It says, I went up by revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says that the eyes of understanding might be enlightened, that you may know. There are things you need to know to reign. There are things you need to know to get to your throne. There are things you need to know to succeed. It says that the eyes of understanding might be enlightened, that ye may know. There are things you need to know to break even. So, when Jesus died, he did not pay for your study life. It is your responsibility to study. The Bible says, study so that you will not be ashamed. Nobody can study for you. If you refuse to study, you are ready for shame. Our world is governed and driven by knowledge. So the people that succeed, behind everyone that succeeds is not age, but knowledge. Behind everyone that succeeds is not age, but knowledge. So when you see a man, so never assume that you know until you produce results. The second prize I will talk about this morning, of my time, is the prize for prevailing prayers. The prize for prevailing prayers. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 verse 1. Medium. He says, he spake a parable to them, to this end, that men ought to always pray. Prayer is for men. Prayer is not for pastors. Prayer is not for bishops. The Bible says, he spake a parable to this end, that men ought to always pray. Which means, the moment you realize that you are a man, prayer is an essential requirement for you to be effective. It says, he encourages all men to pray, not men in trouble, not men in distress, not men in need of power. The Bible says, all men must pray. When God was God, he never prayed. But the moment God became a man in the form of Jesus, the Bible says he prayed. The idea of prayer is not a strategy to solve sudden emergencies. It's not a strategy to solve emergency problems. It's the reason why many are prayerless in church. They just believe that prayer is just an emergency approach to solve problems. That's the reason why many are prayerless. In my opinion, being prayerful is an expression of humility. Prayerlessness is pride. It's a way of declaring your self-sufficiency outside of the assistance of God. When you see a man who does not pray, he's simply declaring his self-sufficiency outside of the sufficiency of God. Luke 1:18 verse 3, it says, if you are not praying, you'll be fainting. Add to knowledge prayers, then you have unbeatable results. Add to knowledge prayer, then you have an unbeatable result. The prayer you pray with scriptures are the most effective prayers. When you take scriptures back to God, Isaiah 45 verse 11. Isaiah 45 verse 11. All right, leave it there. Prayer is not overcoming reluctance in God, trying to force God to do what he doesn't want to do. Prayer is enforcing the known will of God. God, someone has told us, he said, the will of God is fortified in God's word. So prayer is enforcing the known will of God into your life. Isaiah 45 verse 11. It says, thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the Maker. He says, ask of me of things to come concerning my son. He says, concerning the work of my hand, command ye me. Concerning the work of my hand, which means whatever you see in the world, command me to do it in your life. He says, concerning the work of my hand, command ye me. So don't just study, add prayers to it. John chapter 15, verse 7. Don't just study, add prayers to it. John 15, verse 7. Media. He says, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If my word abide in you, your prayers will be granted unto you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians, it says, wherefore we would have come to you, even Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Which means we want to take this territory, but Satan hindered us. We want to win souls, but Satan hindered us. I want to move forward, but Satan hindered us. I want to capture the territory. I want to take it, but Satan hindered us. You don't take territory by confession. You take territory by prayers. You don't take territories by confession. There are spheres of influence that God is sending you and I to. You cannot walk dry into it. You walk there being prayerful. While it is true that prayer is not in the success equation, but you see, there are so many attendant problems that come with success that the priest of service cannot bear you out from. So which means I have been struggling all my life. A portion is now open at the top. It is then Satan remembers this guy and must walk against him. So prayer will always be involved. Prayer will always be involved. I remember God's servant shared a story of Pastor Mamakuma's brother who has been working in an organization for some time. Then after a while, he was deemed fit to move to the next position. The same day he was meant to start on that seat, that was the end of that man. There are some attendant problems that will come into your life that the principle of success cannot bear you from. So that's why prayer must always be involved. Prayer must always. So remember, you are a kingdom person, and there's a kingdom that is against you. So Satan knows that once you rise, you will bring the influence of this kingdom into that sphere. So Satan will always contend with your breakthrough. Satan is against your rising. Listen, in this world, there is nothing like Satan loves me, Jesus loves me. I am a gentle person. If one must love you, the other one must hate you. James chapter 5, verse 13. Media. James chapter 5, verse 13. James 5, verse 13. James 5, 13. He says, if any among you afflicted, what did the Bible ask him to do? Let him pray. So which means that boy, that girl, that has refused to follow the will of the Lord, that is acting funny, what will change her is more discussion after morning devotion. The Bible is not saying, when any man has limitation, let him call family meeting. No. He says, when any man has limitation, let him pray. You change reality through prayer. Luke chapter 9 and verse 29. Luke 9, 29. To change realities through prayer. Luke chapter 9 and verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. As you pray, the weak version of yourself can give way for a stronger version. He says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed. You can change realities in the place of prayer. What you don't want, what you don't like, you have the power to change it in the place of prayer. Prayer is not the master key. That's the fact. There are some doors that only honor can open it for you. There are some doors that goodwill can open for you. there are some doors that when someone is just in love with you, you just open that access. You own access. But you see, every time prayer is not the key, be sure prayer holds the answer onto the key. Every time prayer is not the key, prayer holds the end that controls the key. There's a level of results you can never get except through prayer. James 5, verse 17. There is a level of results you can never get except through prayer. James 5, verse 17. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passion, and he prayed earnestly. So which means the Bible was telling us that Elijah was a man just like you and I. So which means if you have ever been hungry, Elijah was also hungry. So the difference between you, Elijah, and you is that Elijah prayed earnestly. Elijah, so when you are praying for a thing and you have not seen results, don't stop. When you are praying for a thing and you have not seen results, don't stop. Keep at it. It is God's tenacity in the place of prayer. When you are praying for a thing and you have not seen results, don't stop. You keep praying until you see results. Isaiah 52, verse 6. New Living Translation, preferably. Isaiah 52, verse 6. New Living Translation, preferably. Isaiah 52, verse 7. New Living Translation. Isaiah 62. It says, New Living Translation. Arise. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls that they pray day and night. They pray continually. It says, take no rest, all ye who pray to the Lord. Verse 7. Then it says, give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. So you don't stop praying when you are tired. You stop praying when you see results. He says, until you make Jerusalem a praise of the heart. It says, until you make Jerusalem a pride of the heart. So the other job is the prayer of intercession. Just like you can take people's names to an abalist. You can also take the names of your family members to your prayer altar and begin to insist that situation must change in their lives. You can also carry their names and say, this is my sister that is yet to give birth. This is my brother that is yet to get a job. And you stay there until the situation turns around. You can pray. For many of us, we are the reason behind the limitations in our families. For many of us, we are the reason behind the limitations. You are the priest that should change the narrative of that home. For many of you, I'm challenging this morning. You are the priest. You are the one that should change the narrative of your family. They are taking them for a prayer, but no one is saying restore. They are taking them for a prayer, but no one is saying restore. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Isaiah 66, verse 8. It says, who has asked such thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made for to bring forth in one day? Shall the nation be born? It says, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. If a woman is pregnant, does she have the baby or not? Listen. But for the baby to come into her hands, she has to praise. She has to push. It is the same for everything God has given you and I. The Bible says God has blessed us with spiritual gifts, with spiritual in heavenly places, which means it is your responsibility to convert them into this reality. God, those blessings, you don't need them in heavenly places. It is your responsibility to convert them into this way. So they are yours, but you are the one that decides at what stage you want to have them. They are yours, but you are the one that determines at what stage you want them to become your reality. The day you are tired of them being on your inside, then you'll be willing to push. That job is yours already. Push. That miracle is yours already. Push. There is a man you are supposed to meet on Monday, maybe your business partner. Don't just go just like a carnal man, Baba. A night before meeting that man, you have to pray in understanding and pray in the Spirit. Isaiah 60, verse 16. He said, you will stop the meat of the Gentiles and you will stop the bread of kings. You wake up a night before and you keep praying. Use that to arrest possibilities overnight and enter into that reality during the day. Yes, arrest possibility overnight and enter into that reality in the day. Or a man has promised you money. The moment he promises you money, Satan will do all his best to destabilize that man, so that that money does not get into your hands. You now see the reason why promise and failure happens. So the moment the promise was made, the door was shut. But you will not know. So what you should do as a believer? Satan is against your rising. What did you do? So if a man has promised you something, it is time to tell the devil, it is too late. You cannot close this door. Because I'm going to take it up in the place of prayer. Before I meet that man in 2 days' time, you go ahead and start praying. It must see the reality of the day. We are the ones that have limited ourselves. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53. The only time Jesus was oppressed was when his mouth was shut. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He said, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Then the Bible says, yet he opened not his mouth. I'm sure you've heard God's servant told us severally that a closed mouth is a closed destiny. Then he said here, he said, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before the shearer. He's gone. So he opened not his mouth. Your mouth is not just for eating. You have a praying mouth. Use your prayer to direct the course of your life. Use your prayer to chart the course of your life. Use your prayer to reorder the course of your life. I want to bring my sins to a close because of my time. Peradventure you are here, you are not born again. Perhaps to you, Jesus Christ is just another prophet. You are not wrong, but that is not enough to save your soul. If you continue that way, you may head in hellfire. You are in church, you are not born again. Jesus has paid a price for you to be saved. In case that doesn't make any sense to you, you don't understand, you know we are just joking, we are not starting. Before you start, you must consciously give your life to Christ.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan. Every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.